Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The excitement after LSU beat Clemson in winning the college football championship and the Mercedes-Benz Superdome last night, it spilled into the streets of New Orleans. After beating Clemson by a convincing score of 42-25, fans who had gathered to watch the game in bars put their elation out on the street in public display, taking it to the streets. This was throughout downtown New Orleans and, of course, in the French Quarter. And, in fact, some downtown streets were just completely impassable because people had poured out into the street. It wasn't enough to just celebrate with the crowd that you were with. You know, people wanted, especially in like the Warehouse District and the Quarter, people wanted to just go out and be in public and just express their elation. It was just such an appropriate ending for such a great season by LSU. And I love what a caller from Mobile said earlier. It's like the year of the game of redemption, the season of redemption for coaches and for players. Coaches and players that not everybody thought they were the right person for the job, but they believed in themselves. And it all came together this year with LSU. The potent offense of the LSU Tigers, led by Heisman Trophy winner Joe Burrow, clashed with Clemson's top-ranked defense. And in the end, there was no doubt that LSU lived up to the hype that it is one of the best football teams in the history of college football. Now, since sports are played by human beings, the ups and downs and the challenges of a game or a season can serve as metaphors for life. Last night, Joe Burrow of the LSU Tigers got off to a really slow start, but then the explosive LSU offense dominated Clemson's defense. And Burrow and the entire team never seemed to lose focus. They remained mentally steadfast in their belief in their mission to win the championship. And Coach O and Joe Burrow talk about this really early in the season, that they knew they had something special very, very early in the season. And they sure did. I think the lesson to be learned is, regardless of the early obstacles that you face in any aspect of your life, don't lose focus. Don't lose faith in yourself, and work toward doing what you know you can do, regardless of what others say, and regardless of the odds against you. And that's what LSU did last night. In the second quarter, Clemson was leading 17-7. Joe Burrow began to find his rhythm. A few long passes that included just some great catches by great receivers. Jefferson, Chase, brought LSU within 4 points. The inner confidence of Joe Burrow never wavered. And with precision passing and some tough running, Burrow led the Tigers to a 28-17 halftime lead. Behind their great young quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, Clemson came back and was within three of LSU in the third quarter, 28-25. Not long after Clemson got within three, Joe Burrow and the LSU Tigers put together running and passing plays that looked like a highlight reel in real time. And the game ended with LSU beating Clemson 42-25. And so we got the champions. But, you know, a lot of credit should go to Clemson. And as I said before the game, and I noticed it again last night, I enjoy trash talking because it's kind of fun. You know, it's kind of a fun part of sports. But there wasn't really a lot of trash talking between LSU fans and Clemson fans on the streets. And it's something that I really noticed because it was obvious. And I think it was because both teams have a lot of respect for each other. But after watching the game at a packed house at Rockin' Bowl in South Carrollton and doing a report from the wild cheering fans there, I went to Bourbon Street to see this Mardi Gras-like chaos in the streets. And the last time I saw the French Quarter like that outside of Mardi Gras was when the Saints won the Super Bowl. About 1 a.m. in the morning, just a couple of hours after LSU's victory, LSU fans were high-fiving and hugging total strangers as they mingled on America's most famous street, Bourbon Street. Many were drunk, having fun, the street was packed, and so were the bars and the clubs along Bourbon Street. Many of those who were celebrating didn't go to the game. They had come to the city to party, to go to a watch party, to watch it in a bar, to watch it in a crowd of LSU fans. And they just wanted to be part of what might be this historic moment in history. And as soon as the game was over, they just went out into the streets. You know, it would not have been unreasonable to think that maybe some people didn't quite make it into work today. Did anybody miss work at your workplace? LSU postponed the beginning of their new semester, which was set to begin yesterday. They put it off until Wednesday. So yesterday and today were holidays at LSU, realizing that the game would be a complete distraction for students and for teachers. And, you know, as fans, we invest in teams. And it's why we're so disappointed when our team, like the Saints, lost to the Vikings in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. In fact, I guess this would be a good time to say, hey, if you're a Clemson Tiger fan and your team lost a big game in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, hey, Saints fans know exactly how you feel. But when a team wins, like when LSU won last night, it makes us feel like winners too. And so there's like a really great positive attitude just buzzing throughout the state and along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. You know, there are a lot of Mississippi Gulf Coast fans that are big LSU fans because really LSU is closer to them than some of the big schools in Mississippi. Ole Miss and Mississippi State, those are upstate Mississippi. So the Mississippi Gulf Coast has a lot of LSU fans. Before the game, I commented on my experience of seeing the fans on the street together and was really, really impressed at how they got along. Just to let you know how congenial LSU and Clemson fans are toward each other. After the game, some LSU fans started a GoFundMe account to raise money to help Clemson buy a new Tiger mascot. The Clemson Tiger mascot appeared quite inferior as it shared the spotlight with LSU's Tiger mascot. The Clemson Tiger looked weak and sickly. Its head was disproportionately small relative to the size of its body. The Clemson Tiger mascot looked like a character from the movie Beetlejuice. Clemson is an excellent team with a quarterback destined for NFL greatness. But if they have to do some regrouping in the offseason, I think they need to focus a little bit on their mascot. So what was wrong with their mascot? It was really kind of an embarrassment, wasn't it? Simply put, the Clemson Tiger mascot looked like it belongs on a poster for a campaign, Kids Don't Do Drugs. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, text 870-870. If you're on hold, hang on. I'll get to your calls and your comments coming up. And I this is a great song to play as we reflect on LSU's win. Think about how LSU and Joe Burrow felt it very early in the first quarter. All right, listen to this as we go to break. I'm Scoot. We'll be back. I thought about this song when I was picking bumper music, thinking about Joe Burrow and how LSU came back to win the game. I'm Scoot. It's Tuesday. I know for many of you, it feels like a Monday. We did our show on location at Rock and Bold yesterday, and I really don't feel like I worked. I mean, it was fun to go out and do the show. And I want to say to Ian Hoke, our studio producer, Ian did a hell of a job back here at the studio. And it's, you know, communications are a little different, and it's a little more difficult to produce the show when I'm on location, but Ian did a phenomenal job. All right, before I get back to your calls and your text messages, Ed Ogeron just talked about after the game how proud he was of his LSU Tigers.
Give the credit to our players. Those guys fought. Character, grit, determination. We took it one game at a time. We wanted the team. Got to give the credit to our coaching staff. Just a tremendous night for the LSU Tigers. Tremendous night for the purple and gold. A tremendous night for the state of Louisiana. We are so proud to represent.
And for Ed Ogeron, it's been an interesting journey. And last night was a very important moment for him.
I'd gotten a job at USC, and I felt that I was ready to be a head coach. I felt that I had learned from my mistakes at Ole Miss. At that point in time, I wasn't. I remember sitting on the sofa in my house. I had a year to reflect. I remember watching SEC games, and you know what? I know I can compete with these guys, given the right place. I mean, you got to be the place like LSU and have great coaches and great players to win it. I don't think I could have been somewhere else, and we had the success that we had.
Dabo Swinney, a coach of the Clemson Tigers, had this to say about LSU right after that victory.
Tonight was all about LSU. What an unbelievable game. You know, we had an opportunity there in the third quarter. I loved how we responded and got the ball back with a three-point lead. And we just couldn't quite put enough plays together. You know, it's probably the worst we've been on third down in a long time. We had opportunities on third down, but we just didn't convert and give them credit.
And Joe Burrow, this was a dream season.
Pretty good emotions. I mean, this is special. This doesn't come around every year. You know, this is a special group of guys that really came together, and it's as close of a group that I've ever been around. I'm just so happy I was able to do it with Coach O, Patrick, and the rest of the guys in that locker room.
If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And we're just taking in this great moment of LSU winning. And it was not only that they won, but it was that they came from behind. It was how they won. And it was the way when Joe Burrow and the receivers and the offensive line and the running backs all got in sync. Again, there were moments that looked like a highlight reel in real time, happening right in front of you, and it just looked like so many LSU victories this year. There's something really special about Joe Burrow and Chase and Jefferson and Edwards-Helaire. So many special things about the offensive line. And it just, I thought we would just continue to enjoy all of this today. From Marrero, Glenn, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. This is a lifetime moment for me. I've been watching the Tigers since the 60s. I can remember going to the first game with my brother back in the 60s. And this is absolutely one of the most awesome things that I've ever encountered in my life. Great Tiger fan, love the Tigers. I did want to make one comment about that. I'm not sure a lot of people noticed this, but in the second half, our coaches were calling running plays with Joe Burrows. And seemed like to me after he made a couple of runs there, the Clemson defense just changed. The way that they were doing things, which really started opening things up for us in both running and passing. I just wanted to, point that out, that it wasn't just they weren't just calling passing plays anymore. Right. And Joe pulled off some pretty nice yardage on the ground, which, he isn't known for doing that quite that often, but he did quite a few times last night.
And Glenn, I was a little surprised because there was that point in the second quarter when it looked like Joe Burrow took a hit and might be a little injured. And so I was really surprised when he came back in the second half and they did seem to call so many running plays for him.
Right. On the sidelines. I remember that play. Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? As he said, as the coach has said, this is a team we'll never forget. You know, this is a legendary thing. It's not just Joe Burrows and not just Coach O.
Right.
It really was a group effort. We got some superstars here. I think that when the NFL draft starts, it'll prove to everybody the superstars that we have that are now millionaires.
Yep. You wonder if people like Joe Burrow are kind of like, looking around thinking, gee, I wonder what kind of car I feel like buying. I'd be taking a few test drives right now.
Seeing his dad and seeing his mom and the wonderful people that they are, I'm pretty sure his values don't go toward what kind of car could I buy.
I know, but it would be something that a lot of people would think about. No, he's really just an outstanding young guy from an outstanding family.
Right.
And Glenn, I appreciate your comments. From the North Shore, Don, you're on WWL. Hey, Don.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Two things. One, I got to say the GoFundMe site has raised $1,970, so looks like Clemson will be able to get a new mascot, thanks to LSU fans.
This is so funny on so many levels.
But I think the mascot is actually pretty accurate. I think we're the ones that have been wrong about the Clemson mascot, Scoot. I really do.
Okay, tell me why.
I've looked at it. I've researched it. I don't think they're the Clemson Tigers. If you look at the mascot and you look at Walt Disney, I think they're the Clemson Tiggers.
You're right. He does have those facial characteristics of Tigger.
Even the color, the color scheme, the bright orange color scheme is Tigger. It's not Tiger.
Well, maybe that's a way they could change. They could change the name instead of changing the mascot, and it would all fit.
They'd have to get permission from Disney, and you know,
I guess so. All right, Don. I appreciate the call. Yeah, if you haven't heard this, look, the sight of the if you were at the game and if you were watching in a watch party group like I was, or if you were even at home, you couldn't help but notice just something was wrong with the Clemson Tiger mascot. The head is disproportionately small relative to the size of the body. And compared to the LSU Tiger mascot, it just looked even worse. And I'm getting texts from people who say it seemed like he you know, this was somebody who'd been on meth for a couple of days or maybe a couple of years. I mean, he looked like a meth addict. So I don't know what's going on, but LSU fans started a GoFundMe account to give money to Clemson to help them with a new mascot, or they could maybe change the name to Tigger. And don't have to change the mascot. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, I can't read that one. Here it is. Maybe Clemson's mascot has feline distemper. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a vet. You know what? If you're a vet, is there anything that would explain what that Clemson mascot has going on? All right, here it is. The Beatles song of the hour. If you were the eighth caller to our contest line, 260 wins. That's 260-9467. Eighth caller wins a pair of tickets to see the Liverpool Legends, the complete Beatles experience, this Friday on stage at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And I saw these guys the last time they were here. They are amazing. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. It was so much fun picking bumper music for the show today, knowing that we were going to talk about LSU. Hope you enjoyed watching the game wherever you were. And a lot of people, wherever they were, they poured, especially in downtown New Orleans, they poured out into the streets. I mean, thank God nobody poured out onto South Carrollton or the Earhart Boulevard area around Rock and Bowl. But, man, it was a great crowd there, and I thank all of you for stopping by. From New Orleans, Bobby, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I just wanted to make a couple comments. In the semifinal game between Ohio State and Clemson, Ohio State did something that a lot of teams didn't do during the season against Clemson. They brought in their secondary right almost up on the line of scrimmage to shut off Clemson's receivers, kind of bumping them at the line before they were able to break out. Uh-huh. LSU did the same thing. LSU did the same thing last night. Their secondary, Delpit and Fulton and the rest of the cornerbacks and safeties, were very aggressive against their top receivers who had great seasons. Ross and the other receiver, the junior. And then that makes Trevor Lawrence, who had outstanding season, and no doubt he'll be a number one draft pick, but just didn't give him a whole lot of window that they've had or they've seen during the season. And, man, Coach O, he just keeps his team focused from game to game and didn't look back and Joe Burrow, what can you say? It was just a great effort and a great season for the LSU football team. And he's already back to work Wednesday, starting his recruiting. So, Coach O, you got to love him. He's very humble. So is Joe Burrow. And Devil Sweeney and Trevor Lawrence, those guys are winners. Their class. Yeah. And, I mean, it just goes to show the parity. You can't do it every season, but they had a great year, and there's, I think, a lot more great things to come from the LSU team, especially in the SEC conference.
Bobby, I appreciate the call. You know, there'll be a lot of time to talk about the person who's going to fill, at this point, the person who's going to fill Joe Burrow's spot at quarterback is Miles Brennan. And the guy just has just like this really powerful arm, and he can just really hurl that rock. Does he have the finesse? We don't know. I mean, Joe Burrow didn't have it in the very, very beginning. I mean, maybe the finesse, but he didn't have it all together in the very beginning. So, you know, I'm excited to still see what comes from LSU. From Lafayette, Tommy, you're on WWL. Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scoot, for taking my call. You guys do a great job. My wife and I attended the game, and I just have a couple of comments and observations that I noticed. And you made mention of it earlier about there wasn't a lot of animosity between – and we were on the quarter for a couple of days. There wasn't a lot of animosity between the Clemson crowd and the LSU crowd. And, of course, I think part of it is that LSU and Clemson are not bitter rivals. You know, they only played each other about two or three times in the last, you know, 30 years or so. But in addition to that, I think their two coaches just come off totally different than a lot of – than like a Coach Saban. And by that, I mean, it seems like they have a lot of empathy for their players. They have a lot of – they're peaceful inside. They appear to be happy. You know, they care if someone gets hurt. They care about their players as human beings, not just as athletes. And they're hard to hate, to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Coach O is just, you know, he's got so much humility about him. And I mean, he's learned from his previous mistakes that you can't just be a control freak out there. You have to hire people that can do things and then turn them loose and let them do it, which is evidenced by Coach Ensminger and Coach Brady.
Yeah.
And in addition to the defensive coach. But anyway, it's just an observation. And you know, Clemson wasn't fun to hate, it seemed like.
No, you're right. I mean, look, I enjoy that aspect of sports. I enjoy the trash talking. I mean, it's fun when it's LSU and Alabama. I mean, the Saints and the Falcons. I mean, that's it's a fun part of the sport. But you can't hate a team that is not a team to hate. And Clemson and just their demeanor and just the way they are and because they're not bitter rivals with LSU, just did not lead to the trash talking. We're also talking about what's wrong with that Clemson Tiger mascot. Here's a text that says, I'm not a vet, but it looked like they gave the tiger too many pain pills. Here is another text that says, the Clemson mascot looks like a stuffed animal that my dog has been chewing on for years. Another one says, looks like he's a little malnutritious to me. And this one says, Scoot, the Clemson mascot looks like he was hit by a car. Yeah, I mean, something's wrong with that Clemson mascot. From the North Shore, Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, thanks for taking the call. I got a couple quick points. First, no shade to any part of Mardi Gras, but the Clemson mascot, it kind of looked like a beat-up stuffed toy that you got from a 1995 truck parade.
Yeah, that you still have.
But on a serious note, collegiate mascot abuse and neglect is a rarely seen travesty here in America. Boy. For 25 cents a day, you can help that poor mascot get better.
Boy, thanks. And you know what, and Patrick, I appreciate that. And you know, if they started doing those commercials like they do for dogs and cats about the abused mascots that just don't look good, I'm sure that they could raise a lot of money doing that. Big D, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, I got a few comments. Look, okay. I've been watching college football for 45 years. I'm 55 years old, and I can tell you this. Kurt Herbstreit said it. This is things that you don't even see on a video game. Let me tell you this. Fans, this is the team that you have never seen before, and you're probably not going to see again in your lifetime. This is the best college football team from top to bottom that I have ever seen in my life. That's number one. Tip my hat to the coaching staff for that. Number two, the mascot, he sat in the coach's room and watched film on LSU's team for the last 2 weeks, and he got sick and he couldn't eat. So that's total malnutrition. Yeah. He, I mean, you know, when you don't eat in 2 weeks, you're going to look worse than him, really.
He didn't look good.
So, well, he didn't eat in 2 weeks. Once he seen the film the first day, it was like, man, I he couldn't eat until – he probably still didn't eat. But anyway, on one more note, we got Dabo Sweeney, which I respect a lot. He was saying his team didn't do too good on his third down conversions. Well, you just look at the mad scientist with Arando, and that's the reason why in our defense. That's why he didn't do too good on third and third down conversions.
Well,
I'm just telling you what I saw, and I can tell you, before I heard Kurt Herbstreit say yesterday that, you know, this is video game stuff I'm watching LSU do, when throughout the season he looked at tape and saw games of them. Well, before he said that, I've been telling this to my wife 2-3 weeks ago, that you just don't see any team do this. Week in, week out.
It was fun. And Joe Burrow just threw the ball into like just areas where there's just such little room, and these receivers are catching the ball with defenders' arms all over the place, and they're still focusing on the ball. And in this very small window, they're grabbing the ball.
Yep. Try it with a video game, and you ain't gonna make the catches they catch, and you're not gonna make the throws he throw on a video
game. All right, Big D, I appreciate the call. Here is a text that says, it looks like the mascot visited a voodoo shop and they shrunk his head. Yeah, I mean, well, that would be one explanation. Okay, so let's go to break with a song that really does speak to what happened with fans who were in watch parties at bars all over downtown. This is exactly what they did. All right, Sports Talk, the second guest show coming up with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottillier, live from the Silver Slipper Casino on the beach in Hancock County and Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. That is coming up next. I'm Scoot, and we're coming right back on WWL. This is singer-songwriter Lauren Daigle. She sang the national anthem last night at the game, and I thought she did a phenomenal job. What a voice. But as amazing as her voice is, her heart is just as amazing. And I had a chance to talk to Lauren the day before the game. And that interview is on our website, WWL.com. It's on our WWL Radio Facebook page. I'll share it on the SOTA Facebook page later today. And also, we'll replay it on the air tomorrow. I mean, just really some really interesting things that I talked to Lauren Daigle about. And she just is not only a phenomenal singer, but just an incredibly positive human being. It's not to say there hasn't been some controversy, but I don't see any controversy. Some people have felt like maybe she's like abandoning her Christianity. She's not. She's just trying to include more people. And she has crossed over to the top 100 Billboard chart. She's dominated the Christian music charts. So my conversation with Lauren Daigle on the show tomorrow, but you can also find it on our social media sites, our website, and our Facebook pages. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producers today, Jordan Fiegel and Tom Manassas, and our studio producer, Ian Hoke. And it's time now for the $1,000 Intercom National Cash Contest code word. The code word this hour is bail. Text B-A-I-L to 72881. Used in a sentence, if Joe Burrow and the boys had been arrested for smoking cigars, they would have needed to make bail. Text bail to 72881. Next code word comes up tomorrow morning with Tommy Tucker tomorrow morning starting at 8 o'clock. And we'll do that throughout our show tomorrow afternoon as well. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. And please don't text and drive. Most of all, I want to thank you for being part of the show. And I love the people that say to me, I love your show, but we don't always agree. That makes me feel great. So have a great afternoon. I'm Scoot. Go Tigers. Love you, New Orleans.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.